Take your Bibles and go with me tonight to the book of Hosea, in Hosea chapter number 2. Hosea chapter 2, we will read two verses there. Hosea chapter number 2, if you do not know, those are my three daughters who just sang to you, so thank you very much. Actually, not all of them are my daughters, but anyhow. Hosea chapter 2, verse 14 and verse number 15. Hosea chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 15. Hosea chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 15. Don't give up, because I really want you to see verse 15. Verse 14 reads like this: "Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her, and I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there, and in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came out of the land of Egypt." I'd like you to look again in verse 15, where it says the words "the valley of Achor for a door of hope." I'd like to speak with you about that tonight, the valley of Achor for a door of hope. Heavenly Father, we are delighted to have enjoyed all that we have. Lord, thank you so much for the trust of moms and dads and pastors and youth pastors to bring their young folks here. Thank you so much, Lord God, for the wonderful sacrifice of Brother Gray to come our way. And Lord, I ask tonight, Lord, especially now, for you to meet with us and you to meet in a special way to each and every heart. And Lord, work here now, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. I go to Sam's Club. I go clubbing quite often. I go to Sam's Club. There's a couple reasons I go. You get free samples there, and I like free samples. I have different costumes I wear when I walk by them, and I wear a mustache one time and a beard one time and just keep going by, and I tell about my wife's over there, and then I'll point to some other guy, and that's my brother, and that's my dad down there, and I need to take them a sample or two also. I like to go to the little cafe. I take my wife to the cafe for a date, and we get the pizza and the soda, or the hot dog and the soda, which when romance hits, you never know which one you'll take, but we go there. The one I go to in Daytona, there's a lady in the years I've been going there. I think she's always been there. She is the smiliest, happiest looking lady I've ever met. Top three, at least. I went in one time, and she wasn't as smiley as she used to be. We talked a little bit at the cashiers and checking out, and I said, "Are you okay? You look a little different today." And she told me about a son in his early 20s who was suffering and looking to be at the point of death. I said, "If you don't mind, I don't know if you remember, I am a pastor, and I will begin to pray for him, and we'll just see what God will do." Time by time, I'd go in, and things seemed to be okay. But I went in one time, and I saw her from a distance and not able to say hey to her like I normally had been. And she wasn't smiling. And I thought, something's happened. I saw her another time from the distance, and no longer was she smiling. I called her, I think, the third or fourth time, again, checking me out. And I said, "Terry," I said, "how's your checking me out?" I can understand why, of course, but I went in a restaurant one time and I was sweating, and a lady said to me, "You look hot." I said, "Ma'am, I hear that everywhere I go. I'm used to it, but my wife gets embarrassed when you say that when she's standing right there." I was getting checked out. And I said, "How's your son?" And she said, "He passed away." I said, "Well, God bless you." I said, "He's saved, and you know that. And he's in heaven, and things are okay." I see her again and again. She has never smiled like she used to smile. I saw her the other day from a distance, and to be honest with you, she looked pretty hard. All of us have trouble. I said, everybody has trouble. Odd thing, the Bible tells us that the valley of Achor would be for a door of hope. The word Achor means trouble or troubling. In the book of Joshua, we find the children of Israel. What a spectacular thing had been happening for them. Everything was perfect. After the death of Moses, now Joshua has become the leader. Joshua had dreamed for some 40 years to go over into the promised land. And now, uniquely enough, he is the one to lead them into the promised land. They crossed the River Jordan, if you know the story, at a flood season. And God did a miracle in that he moved the waters back like he'd moved the waters back at the Red Sea. They walked through on dry ground and they got to the other side. And when they got to the other side again, they turned and the waters closed in again. They began to march forward, and the next battle was the Battle of Jericho. They walked around the walls of Jericho for 6 days, once a day. On the seventh day, they went seven times, and then they gave a shout and the blow of the trumpet, and the walls came tumbling down. Everything was going great. Everything was fantastic. Joshua had assumed the leadership, and now things were going just the way he wanted it to go. They'd handled it easily by faith and hearing and following the instruction of God and what to do. Major, incredible victories had come their way. And now they just sensed perhaps that they could not be defeated and things would never be bad again. Unfortunately, I believe at least somewhat at that time, humility went out the window. And faith of God and God was no longer the priority to their life. They decided in this next battle, this little city, so small, it only had two letters. Little city called Ai. They said, "We need not send everybody over there. Let's send 2,000 or 3,000 people." And when they did, they came back and 36 men were killed. 36 men were killed. Man, I've made some bad decisions in my life and it's cost and some pain and some hurt, but I've never made a decision where 36 people died because of the decision that I made. 36 men no longer would exist, and there'd be homes where the dad would not be there, or the older brother would not be there, or some other relation, an uncle or a cousin would not be there anymore. A difficult time. It's called the Valley of Achor. A man named Achan saw something that he wanted. And he had to have it no matter what. He had to have it. And he took of the accursed thing, the Bible says. It broke the heart of Joshua. And Joshua, you find him on his face, perhaps weeping. And we find that he wept to God. And he said to God, "Would to God we'd have been content on the other side of the River Jordan." I can't even imagine that Joshua would say that. I cannot even imagine the one who said, when the other 10 spies says, "No, we cannot." He was right there nodding his head, at least when Caleb had said, "We can go. We are able and we are well able." But the children of Israel had been paralyzed now for 40 years. But now Joshua has led them where he dreamed of them going some 40 plus years ago. And now in a defeat, he said, "I would to God, we never even tried it. Would to God, we'd just been content and stayed on the other side." Joshua, because of this defeat, he said he just couldn't, he wasn't going forward. Wasn't going forward. Joshua said, "I would to God, we'd been content and would to God, we just stay this way. And why hast thou troubled us?" And the Lord said, "The Lord will trouble thee," it says. In Joshua 7, it says there's a heap of stones there for memorial that what had happened. the reminder that somebody had died and all the hope then was yet before them. God rejects the prayer of Joshua and tells Joshua to get up and take some action and take some action now. Listen to me, young person. The threat you've got is you're going to delay taking some action in your life. You're going to put off some of the things you've already thought about in your life. Some of those decisions that in the midst of the preaching, in the midst of the invitation time, you thought, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. There's some things you need out of your life, and you know you need them out of your life. You don't even need to tell anybody else to tell you you need them out of your life. The Spirit of God lives inside of you, the same Spirit of God that lives inside of me. The Spirit of God who had this book pen for me and had this book pen for you, He's already spoken to your heart about something. But if you don't act now, that delay always leads to doubt. And that doubt usually leads to death in your life, that you never do what you could have and should have. This is what was told. We were told that God told him to get up and face your fear. Get up and face your faithlessness and get up and face your failure. You're going to have to face some failure in life. I like the Bible. The Bible calls us again and again the children of God. We're in the sons of God. Oh, you little children, we're called children. God knows children are going to mess things up, are they not? I have 7 kids, and now I have some grandkids, and I've been around kids for 38 years as far as serving the Lord and being around bus routes and Sunday school classes, and I've seen them make some messes. I've gone in the bathroom after some teenagers have been in the bathroom and come out, and the water's coming my way. Find out we're out of toilet paper for Uniquely, it eased over into the toilet about 3 or 4 rolls. Well, I walked in one time and some bus kids were spitting on the fluorescent bulbs and they were shooting loogies is what they called it. You need to always look up when you go to the restroom after young folks have come out. You and I, we need to face some things. We need to face some things by faith. By faith, they had faced Jordan. By faith, they had faced Jericho. But now, by faith, they've got to face some failure. You know what? You're going to have to face some failure, are you not, in your life? That trouble that comes your way, and that trouble comes your way sometimes when you get a little bit too much about yourself. It's a unique thing about the Bible and about God. The Bible tells us in the last verse in Joshua chapter 6 that the fame of Joshua was noised abroad. Man, everybody knew who Joshua was. Joshua, if you would, he was a big shot. And what made him a big shot? He did simply what God told him to do. He was known by other people, and he was known throughout that land because he simply did what God told him to do. Now, you know what? When you start doing what God tells you to do, God will turn you into somebody, because God doesn't mind sharing the credit a little bit as long as you and I keep our eyes focused on God and understand it is God that brought it all about. Amen. This place of Achor, this was a place of examination. We need to check some things out. This was a place of exaltation where we realize God knows and God sees all, doesn't he? Religion's funny, isn't it? Religion's trying to convince somebody else that everything's okay. I grew up religious. It was a religious people who put Jesus on the cross, wasn't it? It was a religious people who chanted, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. I've knocked doors for 38 years, thousands of doors in 38 years. I've heard all kind of people boast about their religion. Well, I'm going to tell you what, friend, when you die and face God, you're not going to be boasting that you're a Catholic or a Baptist or a Presbyterian. You better be boasting Jesus, or you're in a heap of trouble. There's only one name that'll get you into heaven. Only one name will get you into heaven. That is the name of Jesus Christ. It is the faith, your faith in the finished work of a living God, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going to get you to heaven. Now, young person, if you're trusting anything else, I am a preacher. If you're trusting that I'm a preacher's kid, that preacher kid, you ain't going to tell God that. I said, you won't tell God that. When you face God, you'll be in awe that that's God. And you better boast one thing. there was a day of salvation. There was a day you became the child of living God. This was a place of elimination. We had to get some stuff out of our life. They had to get some things cleaned up. They had to face some things. But then I like it. It was also a place, it was an entrance to hope. See, you got to face it sometime. And when you face it, you can get up and find out it is truly a place of hope. That God makes everything all right. And God can lead me and God can lead you to victory. Now, we are troubled. Sometimes we're troubled because of sin. I mean, we just sinned. We just thought the wrong things. We just listened to the wrong things. We've just said the wrong thing. We just acted the wrong way. Or maybe you've done as bad as Adam and Eve. You just disobeyed. Disobeyed. When they disobeyed, they immediately died spiritually. Body, soul, and spirit, they died spiritually. And that's why we must be born of the Spirit. We've got to be born again. And they were born again. And because of that, you and I, we better be born again and put our faith in God and trust Him moving us forward. But Achor is a place, it was trouble because of sin. It was trouble not only because of sin, it was a trouble because of death. Death's a stinger, isn't it? I got a call a couple weeks ago and one of our ladies just said, "Oh my God, he's dead, preacher, he's dead, he's dead." I said, "Hold on, I'll be there just as quick as I can." We got there and a 40-year-old man that I'd led to Christ in April of 2009 had dropped dead in his house. His mom and a neighbor had to walk into a body just laying still. Death comes and it's a stinger, isn't it? It's troubling. Defeat comes, does it not? And it's a trouble too, isn't it? There's defeat comes and we think things are all over and we're never going to be able to recover. Oh, I like the Bible. I like the Bible because of what it tells me. I like the Bible for what it reveals to me and what it lets me peer into. I like in the Old Testament when Joseph was sold off by his rotten brothers and his rotten brothers went back and lied to a dad and a dad lived brokenhearted thinking his son, his flesh and blood boy, the boy that he loved so deeply and loved unfortunately even more than all the other brothers, they said he's dead. Boy, that old flesh we got's wicked, isn't it? I mean, it's just wicked and vile what it'll do. It doesn't matter. Oh, we'll use people to get what we want. We'll do anything. If that flesh just has to be satisfied, does it not? Oh, they got rid of him. And here's a dad who lived brokenhearted day in and day out and celebrated a birthday without a boy there. And the chair where he used to sit was no longer there with his presence. And now he's all gone and his heartbreak day after day after day after day. Why? Because somebody's dead that he loved. Look bad. There came a day, 22 years later, some horses and some wagons showed up. And they showed up from Egypt. And he went out wondering, well, what is this? What is this? And the message was, Joseph's alive. Joseph's all right. And Joseph has sent these wagons and he's in charge and he wants you to come down and we're going to move and we're going to live in Egypt and Joseph is going to take care of us. Can you imagine a day like that? Can you imagine 22 years later, some wagons showing up and you finding out the man you thought was dead is now in charge of everything and he's the one who's going to be keeping you alive and taking care of you. I tell you tonight, my friend Craig, who passed away just a few days ago, he's alive. He's up in heaven. And thank God one day the old wheels from glory are going to come and take me and they're going to come and take you. And we're going to find out everything's all right in my Father's house. Amen. We face trouble, though, don't we? You preachers know it. Some of you church members know about other church members and the trouble they face. The heartbreak that's there. The unbelievable things that come our way. When I was a boy, my dad was a truck driver. We didn't see my dad much. I have, I think, three memories, maybe four memories of my dad.
We were driving down the road one time, and little bitty kid, we had them old big old Fords, 1953 Ford. I mean, it was a big car. Man, you hit one of them pieces of junk you buy today, it would have leveled that car and kept on going. I mean, it was a real car. When we were a little kid, you could barely see over the top of the door just to look out the window. We were driving down the road one day, and my dad was in town. He was a driver, and all of a sudden, we just swerved. Shoo! Shoo! I'm bouncing all over the seat. So you had to strap everybody in. You had to airbag everybody in. You had to have a helicopter on the back just in case something bad happened. You had to be ready for everything. We just drove around. I said, "What was that, Dad?" He said, "You didn't see it?" I said, "See what?" He said, "You didn't see that." He called it an elephant because I was a little kid. He said, "You didn't see that elephant?" I miss that, Dad. Could we go back? No, we got to get on down the road, and no telling, he might go get the rest of the family and come charging after us. Oh, yeah, Dad, we better go. We better get out of here. My dad left. As a 19-year-old boy, I watched the coffin of my dad be lowered down in the ground, unsaved, lost, not understanding anything about it. Now, I can see that old Georgia clay that had been dug up and them dropping those straps down and look in that body and think, what happened? What happened? Wonderfully, a year or so plus after that, I trusted Christ as my Savior. Better than that, I found out my daddy had trusted Christ as his Savior as a younger man. But there was trouble. There was trouble. Trouble comes your way, doesn't it? It doesn't work the way you want it to work all the time, does it? My wife, as a teenager, was in a thriving and just a joyful church and a youth department, just absolutely thriving. And for some reason, I don't know my wife, I don't remember her knowing, her parents just picked up out of that church and went to a church that was closer to them. But the church that was closer to them was deader than a doornail. Dry as dry could be. And she sat there for a solid year thinking about that old youth department and thinking about the life of the old church and sitting there and wondering why she was there. My wife, her family started going to the Forest Hills Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia. Right after that, she shipped off to Bible College in Greenville, South Carolina, and she was there for a year, and she went back the second year, and she was stricken with walking pneumonia, and they had to come back, and when she came back to the church, the church had absorbed a college. A college had moved from the Temple Heights area just outside of Tampa, and my pastor had become the president of that college. I was a brand new Christian, and I stumbled in. They were having a Bible conference. I'd heard my preacher say D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday and Charles Spurgeon. I went to see Billy Sunday, and I found out none of them were alive anymore. But that's who I went to see. My wife, sick, the college moved up, and her dad said, "I want you to stay here, and I want you to go to this college and help this college out." Oh, my wife went from the Disney world of fundamentalism that day, as far as at least the property and the care of it, Bob Jones University to Baptist University of America. The college I went to, one of the classes we had was the old church basement, and it's where the Apostle Paul wrote the Pauline epistles, and you could still smell the rot and the manure from in there, and you're thinking, what in the world is this? But while she was at that college, there's a young man that went to a Bible conference to hear Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon, not knowing they weren't alive. And she saw me, and she said, "I've got to have that guy right there." She asked the ushers to bring me over, and all the men said, "Amen, that's exactly how it happened. You cowards." We met personally on a soul winning bus, out going door to door. I'm sitting in a seat, and a little lady girl named Lydia Elby came tiptoeing down the aisle and said, "Hi, my name is Lydia Elby. What's your name?" And I said, "My name is Lamar Brela." And she says, "I have a friend I'd like you to meet. Would you be okay meeting my friend? Her name is Julie Olson." I said, "I'd be delighted to meet Julie Olson." And I met Julie Olson for the very first time on a soul winning bus. been some trouble in life. But you know what I've found? What God says. That valley of Achor, keep your eyes on it. It's really there for a door of hope. A door of hope. My wife and I think I mentioned this last year, we lost our first child at birth. First funeral I ever preached was my own little flesh and blood. Difficult time. But the grace of God truly is sufficient. I was knocking doors a couple weeks later and went to a door in downtown Atlanta, and a lady said, she came to the door and I told her who I was and the church I was from, and she just started crying. I said, "Ma'am, what is it? What have I said? I didn't mean to offend you. What is it?" She said, "Oh, it's nothing. You can never understand. You can never understand." I said, "Try me. Try me." She said, "You're too young to understand." Oh, to hear those words again. "You're too young to understand." I said, "Try me, ma'am. Try me." She had a couple older kids stand in the background, I think a 12-year-old or so. And she says, "Step in. Let me show you a picture and you'll just never understand." She took me over and showed me a picture of a stillborn child. A little baby. She lost her birth. And I said, "Ma'am, you may not believe this, but I do understand. I really do understand how that feels. And I really can tell you some verses from the Bible that will give you some comfort and they'll give you some courage. Listen, young person, life's not as easy as Hollywood makes it look. They write the script and everything works out okay. But you know what? Life's a little tougher than that. And trouble's coming your way. Sin will be knocking at your door every single day. The world will keep coming up to you saying, 'Come with us. Come with us. Just go with us one time. Just one time.'" How many people have died from cancer because they just smoked one time with their buddies? How many people have died on the highway drunk and killed somebody else just because they went with somebody one time? How many people have blown their minds by drugs because they went with them one time? I had a 15-year-old buddy named David, and he had been high so many times on sniffing glue. When he walked around, you'd say, "Hey, David." He'd go, "Hey. Hey. Hey." No idea where he was. No idea. It's tough, this thing called life, because trouble comes. Sin comes. Difficult times come. They make us cry. They break us our hearts, and we weep before our God. But I tell you, God is a God who is able, and God is a God who can take care of me, and God is a God who can take care of you, and God is a God who can comfort you, and God is a God who sees your tears. Boy, there's something about tears. A lady in our church one time, she said, "Preacher, I can't get my husband to go to the doctor, and he needs to go to the doctor." I said, "Have you tried everything?" She said, "I've tried everything." I said, "Have you cried?" "Cried?" I said, "Have you cried?" No husband can handle a woman crying. I don't care. What do you want, woman? Is it money? You need a new car? Just stop the crying. What is it? She says, "I got it. I got it." He went to the doctor. I assume she cried. It's a door of hope. Why? It's a place of cleansing. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I heard of a story, a little girl getting ready for Sunday school in church, and they had her a brand new frilly dress. They lived back some in the country roads there in Georgia, and her mom and dad had her on the front porch, but there'd been a thunderstorm the night before. Few puddles, and they said, "Make sure you stay on the porch now. Don't leave the porch." She left the porch. She got close, too close to one of those mud puddles and slid in. It was a mess. Crying, she went to her dad. "Oh, Dad, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." Thank God they did what any dad and mom would do. They didn't make her load up and go to Sunday school and look that way. They took her in the house and washed her all up and put another little frilly dress on and sent her off to Sunday school that way. Thank God when you go to God, God will wash you all up, my friend. I said he'll wash you all up and you can go forward. You don't have to make some memorial of it and keep weeping about it day after day after day. It is cleansed in the eyes of God. So pick up and march forward and go on. You got some failure in your life, don't you? Take it to God. Pick up. Go on. Everybody you see has got some failure in their life. Some reason the devil seems to magnify it to me and magnify it to you, does he not? But boy, they're getting paid $20 million a year to miss seven times when they go up to bat and only get three hits. I think you and I could pick up and go on, amen? We may not hit 300, maybe we'd hit 250 and get a grand slam every once in a while living for God. You and I, there's a place, this door of hope, it's not only a place of cleansing, it's a place where comfort is found too. The God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Every season I've gone through that's been brokenhearted, and every season where I've wept to God alone and wept to God with others, thank God, he's the God of all comfort. He showed up to me and he showed up to you, has he not? We could recommend him tonight, amen? I said we could recommend the living God. And you say, I'm in trouble right now. Well, you look back and remember all those times that God has showed up and comforted you and dusted off your face and washed you up and sent you back out with brand new marching orders and say, go on for God, go on for God, go on for God. It's a place we're reminded of the control of God. God was there for Joshua. God is there for you. The trouble you're in, he sees it. He sees it. That paralyzed feeling you feel, which way do I go? Do I keep going the world's way? Do I keep blending in? I don't know about you. I'm about sick enough of blending in. Amen. I'd rather stick out, stand out, than blend in. Amen. I'd rather somebody call me a Jesus freak every 5 minutes than blend in. I'd like to be clearly identified. I am on the Lord's side. I am not halt between two opinions. I know who I'm chosen. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to get back to God and get our eyes back on what we're supposed to be doing, and that's winning the lost to Christ. That's going out with a gospel tract and telling somebody who is lost and without God that they can be saved and they can be born again and they can go on. Amen. Thank God Joshua and Israel heard from God again. Why? What's on the other side of you and I hearing from God? Victory. 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 I preached a sermon the other night to my church called Following a Failure to Success. He made a decision where 36 men got killed. But then they followed him to success. He'd failed awful, awful bad. Listen to me, young person. Some of you, as Brother Bob very well said this morning, you're ripping your parents apart. You know one thing they slipped up on, either this, and you know that, and you know that. What's the good of that? What if somebody did that to you? Tore into you. It wouldn't be fair then, would it? But when you turn it on a parent, it's okay. Preachers are good people, and we're sincere. But I understand I'm going to fail my people at some times. I'm going to overbook. I'm not going to be there when they need me, and I want to be there, but I just can't do it all, and you can't do it all. But you got to understand that we're going to let them down sometime. Sometime, we preach, the old flesh may get in there, and we may say something we just felt like saying, and just getting it off our chest, and all that kind of stuff. What good is that? It gets us some trouble. But I'm saying tonight, you and I, we all need to be forgiving to one another, do we not? Amen. Yeah, yeah. Don't you want forgiveness? Amen. Don't you want forgiveness? Boy, I do. Boy, I very much need it. Could I say a few things to you, and I'm done. Always do this. Always thank God for the victories. Because they're his. They're his. All I've ever done is what God said to do. It's crazy. I go out, I win people to Christ. I've led people to Christ. Anybody in my church, if they just showed up at their door, they could have led them to Christ. It's not like I know some different gospel, and it's not like there really is a Tinkerbell that puts pink, what's that, dust on me when I get to the door. Whoo, it's him. Always thank God for the victories. It's a fine line between he did and we did. Amen. Now, my favorite Christians in the church are the ones that are soul winners, and they said, I saved somebody the other day. My favorite ones are the ones that we don't go soul winning, we go souling. Yeah, preacher, let's go souling. Let's go souling. Yeah, don't get them out of that. Don't get them out of that. Now, I know we're fundamentalists, and you wouldn't approve of this, but we were out on the soul winning bus one day, and I looked out there on the side of the road, and a couple of my ladies were doing this. I picked them up, and I said, what in the world's that? It's a happy dance, preacher. We had two saved. It's a happy dance. Happy dance. Let me tell you a story. Brother Frank's sitting back in the back. Brother Frank Hernandez. Two of our ladies, Frances Popoe and Debbie Thompson, went by and led his wife to Christ on a Thursday morning. I followed up on a Saturday, and I had the privilege to lead him again to Christ. He'd studied for 7 years to be a Franciscan priest. I can picture him in a monk outfit. Came out for months. He was my soul winning partner. Now he goes out on his own with others, leading folks to Christ. He led his mom to Christ, I believe, over the phone. He tried to talk to his dad, and it didn't come together. He'd planned on, I think, in July to go up and see his dad and tell his dad about Christ. They got an emergency phone call. And his dad had fallen somehow, and they were fearful for his life, so he was trying to arrange everything to immediately get up there. But before they could even get up there, he died. Frank was brokenhearted because, as far as he knew, his dad was dead and in hell. He got up there only to find out that of a gospel tract that he had mailed, there's a guy who went to just an average Baptist church, not an independent Baptist church, had picked up that gospel tract and used that gospel tract to win Frank's dad to Christ. That's not the end of the story. Grew up as a Catholic, no doubt, in his background. He told the Catholic priest, he said, I'm going to speak at the funeral. I'm going to use a King James Bible, and I'm going to tell people about Jesus and how to be saved and know they're going to heaven. In a Catholic funeral, he used a King James Bible and stood and told about Jesus Christ, and 8 people trusted Christ as their Savior at the faith. Over the course of that time, 31 different people trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior in the midst of trouble. In the midst of trouble. What are you going to do with trouble? What are you going to do with trouble? How are you going to face it? Could I tell you tonight, remind yourself, always trust God to help you face your trouble. Amen. Don't pull by yourself. Don't pull away from people. If you do, get in the Bible and hunker down till God gives you the answer. Dig in that book and find out he is the living God and he's got the answer. Brother Gray, I don't know how you are, but there's days I'm just done, man. It's all over. But then I always open this book. And next thing you know, the most discouraged person on planet Earth and heartbroken person is ready to get up and run and knock walls down and pick the building up and spin it around a few times and let's go. Let's go. Let's go on for God. Amen. Let's get up and let's face life and let's use that valley of trouble and let's use it as a door of hope and let's go forward and see what all God can do. I don't know about you. If you listen to the news, it's all over for this country. But I'll remind you, they didn't start this country. God's the one who started this country. And if you and I'll get back out there and win lost people to Christ and get some righteousness back in this nation, we're going to be fine. We're going to be okay. I like when Joseph, his crowd, he went down some 70 plus down to Egypt. And the next thing you know, there's more of them than the Egyptians. It's only about 120 who huddled up in the upper room. But the next thing you know, it's them that's turned the world upside down is what they said. Do you believe God? I said, do you believe God? You believe God stopped being God? Or do you believe you and I have stopped letting him be God and getting back to where we trust him again? And you and I quit making shrines and idols and memorials of your trouble in life. Get beyond the trouble. Push on and find out what God can do. There are people in this auditorium who are born again, on their way to heaven, names written down in the book of life because a lot of people faced some trouble and they didn't let the trouble shut them down. They let it be a door of hope. A door of hope. Could I tell you, always seek God when trouble hits. Always get to God. Oh, always get to God. Let me hear her say, always remember every valley is a door of hope. Those rat brothers of Joseph came after the daddy died and said, hey, now listen, Dad, won't you forgive us and treat us okay and all that kind of stuff. And what did Joseph say? You meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. Good. The devil laughed. The neighborhood mocked perhaps Job. It looked really, really bad in his life. But you check the end of that book. You check it out. You see how many sheep he ended up with and how many camels and yokes of oxen and find out how many she-asses he had and find out how many kids he ended up with. Find out twice as much is what the Bible says. You're reading the book of Joel, and God said to Joel and to the nation there, he said, you know what? Everything the locust has taken away from you, I'll replenish. I'll make sure is okay. I'll be in Sam's Club again. I'll be clubbing. My wife and I will go clubbing. And I'll be looking for this lady named Terry. And I'm a reminder, that trouble you got, gal, it's a door of hope. It's a door of hope. Brother Gray, you've been through a lot with your son. But I know some testimonies that you've used it as a door of hope. And you've offered counsel to other people and comfort and the gospel. I sat in a bus meeting one time thinking when I lost my wife and I lost our own little child, I thought I'm the only one going through this. So a man named Terry Cumby sat next to me. He'd been a bus worker for years. And he looked at me and he said, Brother Breedlove, if I could, I'd like to give you this CD. It helped me. A cassette tape is what it was. It's dating me, but I'm all right. Or it was an 8-track, or it was a reel-to-reel. Or it was two people speaking with a can and a string or something like that. He said it helped me. When I lost my twin daughters, 5 days old and 8 days old. There's a sermon by Dr. Jack Hiles called A Basket of Summer Fruit. And he talks about the fruit that God uses, he bruises. You're going to go through some lumps in life. You know what, young person who lived without a dad? I can tell you, God will use it and he'll sweeten it up for you. You'll be able to know what other people feel like. My family, we've been through some hits, and there are other people in our church and other pastors here who've been through some hits. But you know what? You can go back out there, and you know how they feel, don't you? You know how to feel. And people need some hope, don't they? Well, if you and I stay buried in the trouble and don't use it as a door of hope, we'll never get to them, and they'll never have what God has for them. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you that you love us. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray for our little friend we see out at the Sam's Club, Terry. And, oh, Lord God, tonight, I pray for these before me. Lord, you know the aches and the pains that they have in their life. And, dear Lord, I pray you'd bless them. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.